You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. Yes, He is good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word. Now I worship at the feet of Christ who redeemed me with His own blood. In His body I have found
Our Father and our God, we thank You for this opportunity to once again be in Thine presence. We thank You for the message that You have for us this evening. We avail ourselves to hear exactly what we need to hear, trusting that You will use this vessel in order to be able to share Your perfect word for us. Bless this audience this evening, O God. Touch each individual who listens, that they may hear something to encourage their hearts and to rouse their spirits, to be able to be free and operate in the liberty that can only come by way of Christ Jesus. We give You the glory, O God. We give You the honor, and we give You all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. And amen. Greetings to my adoration audience in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. It's been quite a while since I've had the opportunity to share a message live with you. But this evening, I wanted to talk to you directly and concisely about thoughts I've been having concerning the state of Christianity today. More specifically, I have titled this message to you tonight, Why Can't We Be Satisfied Being God's Servants? Let me repeat that. Why can't we be satisfied being God's servants? In a day and age where there are so many self-professed apostles, prophets, elders, and bishops, I wonder often what Jesus would say or do if he were to return to this mess we have made of the gospel. I have never shied away from my understanding of the scriptures, especially as it pertains to the development of the church as seen through the book of Acts. And I have to tell you the truth. The church of today pales in comparison to the early church in every conceivable way. The question I often ask now is, where is the power of the church now? I have been doing a private group study of the book of Acts with my Facebook group and the adventures and exploits of our early Christian leaders is astounding in their faith through persecution. As I read and share questions with our group, I'm often overwhelmed with pride for the sacrifices the early Christians have made to assure that life today for the believer could be much easier. For every death threat, for every stone that has been thrown, for every threat of violence and anarchy, we find our Christian heroes like the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul ready and equipped to do whatever was necessary to advance the way. Have you noticed more and more? It seems, let me catch up on my notes here. It seems like men need to somehow elevate themselves above others. It makes me consider the passage in Romans 12:3, which states, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Oh, to somehow be joyful that God considers us an imperfect vessel in which he can do his perfect work. The local church today, in many ways, has mind manipulated us into this sense of needing a covering, or spiritual guidance from a pastor or other authority, because a mere servant could not possibly hear from God directly, understand him, and dare say, know his voice. I venture to say that this is not being done in a mean-spirited way, but has been passed down from generation to generation as trained behavior, that all things of God must somehow pass through our religious leaders first for approval. In my own Christian experience, this was the case, and it literally destroyed me. That is, until I focused on the voice of God, who assured me I could trust him at his word, and that he had commanded for my life, or what he had commanded for my life, was the truth, and in no way needed any further validation from men. Without this blessed assurance from God, I would still be sitting as a front row cheerleader in my local church, rooting on my pastor. In the liberty God did grant me, I have traveled the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in every way, he has been my guide and exposed me to opportunities in all aspects of ministry to represent him. If I may, I want to start with apostles. For the sake of this broadcast, I will give a condensed definition of the qualifications of an apostle. I will also share why I think there are only 12 that we officially acknowledge, with the Apostle Paul having a special place amongst the Gentiles by his own profession. To begin, we need to understand that words like apostles or prophets are used so interchangeably, and in a general sense can refer to anyone who is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, I refer to things like that as lowercase apostles, lowercase prophets. I'm talking about the letters A and P in my description of them. You know, it's no different than elders, bishops, evangelists. You know, all these words, these titles can have multiple meanings. But for the record, I do not believe any more apostles, and I'm talking about the capital A apostles, exist as their purpose is no longer needed in lieu of us having the complete gospel at our disposal. Let me explain. The apostles I recognize today are Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Judas the son of James, and Paul. As a reference, Acts 1 verses 12 through 14, also Acts 1 verse 26. Now, while these scriptures also reference Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, I don't personally include him because he was replaced by way of casting lots and not directly handpicked by Jesus himself. These were the men established as apostles after the ascension of Jesus Christ. I will also reference Revelation 21 verse 14, which states, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So what makes a real apostle according to Scripture? Number one, a man who would have followed Jesus during his entire earthly ministry, beginning from Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist to Jesus' ascension into heaven. As a reference, Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 22a. Second qualification, a man who would have seen Jesus after his resurrection. You can find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 22b. Number three, a man who would have been appointed by the Lord Jesus himself. You can find that in Acts chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. And number four, a man must be able to perform signs and wonders. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Read those in your own time. Now, I put Paul as the outlier here, and let me explain. I believe Paul holds a special place in this conversation and is definitely qualified to be an apostle. I mean, look at Acts chapter 9, and you can see that to be an apostle is purely based on the fact that Jesus himself handpicked Paul in Acts 9. Paul declares himself an apostle to the Gentiles in Romans 11, verse 13, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles by God's choice. The Lord Jesus declared that he had a specific mission for Paul. You can read that in Acts 9, verse 15. Paul had been set apart from birth and called by God's grace so that he might preach Christ among the Gentiles. Read Galatians 1, verses 15 through 16. The bulk of Paul's ministry was spent planting churches among the Gentiles and was the first one to preach on European soil. His three missionary journeys took him far from Jewish areas to places that had pagan god worship with the likes of Diana, also known as Artemis, Zeus, and Apollo. Paul was more than equipped to share with any audience as he was a student of Gamaliel under the Mosaic Law, and then also receiving a classic Roman education during his time in the city of Tarsus. His training as a Pharisee, you can read about that in Philippians 3, 5, allowed him access to synagogues everywhere. But he also had the privilege of Roman citizenship, which opened many doors of opportunity in the Roman world. Read Acts 28, verse 30. Lastly, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles that showed salvation was available to all people. You can read that in Ephesians 3, verse 6. In this way, both Jew and Gentile who believe in the good news of Jesus Christ can share equally in the riches by God's children, or riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Now, I've spent a considerable amount of time on apostleship because it's a personal pet peeve of mine in the way that term has been abused. But I could spend just as much time on self-proclaimed prophets, bishops, elders, etc. But let me make it clear, I believe wholeheartedly in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe in the offices of the church. However, I do believe apostles and prophets in the spiritual sense are no longer needed as part of today's ministry simply because we have the whole Bible in our possession. In other words, we have the complete story now. And it is our privilege and right to share that story with as many who are willing to hear it. This is in no means my way of saying that apostolic or prophetic gifting does not exist any longer. Heaven forbid, no. I believe they do by way of the Holy Spirit. So again, I ask the question, why can't we be satisfied being God's servants? Why do we have to put a title on everything? Why do we end up having to exalt ourselves higher than others by the way we're addressed? Why do we have to continually make ourselves somehow more anointed, more appointed, more in tune with God than others? Where does that come from? And why is it that we cannot equally share our experiences of faith with each other? The nature of this world has been more focused on man's concepts and intellectual understanding of things than the good old principles found in the scriptures. I have mentioned in previous communications how disappointed and dismayed I have been in recent reactions from the Christian community as it pertains to the recent COVID pandemic, where, honestly, beloved, the church is totally shut down based on fear and things that are anti-Christ. Also, how we've responded to racial unrest and civil disobedience, how we've dealt with political vitriol, especially the personal attacks lashed out to our former president. It is just simply not Christian behavior that I recognize. So here's my question. Where was the love of Christ in all of this? When did we display Jesus as the light of this earth? I reference John 8, verse 12. It says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We also have the opportunity through Christ Jesus to be the salt of the earth, but it comes with a warning. Look at Matthew 5:13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people." These are hard words, beloveds. So let's face it, many of us have lost our flavor, for we have embraced worldly concepts unknowingly, and it has surely affected our witness of Jesus Christ. How do we rectify this situation? Because again, beloveds, I don't just want to throw out the problem. We have to focus on solutions. For me, many years ago, I took about a 5-year sabbatical from the local church with the intent not to leave God, because I didn't have any problems with God, but to unlearn anything I thought I understood about the scriptures, which were shared with me by man, and to have God reteach me. And I must say that this was one of the most exhilarating and exciting times of my life, as the scriptures came alive for me again. Not weighed down by man's intellectualisms, but shared directly through the Holy Spirit and a few faithful people God put in my life during this period, who could hear my cries for understanding and address them without personal interference. After those 5 years in Midian, as I call them, I am still on a daily quest to learn directly from my Creator, my Lord, and my King. It has been an adventure that has had many twists, bumps, and burps along the way, but has ultimately made me a stronger Christian and a better man. My reason in sharing in this manner is not to be provocative or self-absorbed, but to be open and transparent about my journey, and just maybe encourage you to step out into the deep of Christ, where there is safety and truth. Our Father God, as we conclude this message tonight, I pray that you have governed my tongue. I pray that I've shared what you wanted me to share. I pray that I've expressed what you wanted me to express. Even in this short message, O God, I pray that this audience of adoration on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network was able to hear something to encourage their spirits and to motivate them to continuously seek the scriptures. That's what this is all about, oh God. I don't profess to know everything or to be everything. I just profess that each day I live my life in a way to be able to humbly serve those who have never heard about Jesus Christ or need to understand that there is liberty in Jesus Christ. God be glorified in everything that we have shared. Be magnified, oh God, in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Beloved, I love you with Jesus' joy. Until the next time, be encouraged, be lifted, and know that Jesus loves you, and so do I.